Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. No incumbent Boston City Councilor has lost a preliminary election in about 40 years. Until last night, when two did. WBUR reporter Walter Wuthman, welcome back.
Thank you.
So who lost?
Kendra Lara and Councilor Ricardo Arroyo.
All right, so we had you with us on Monday talking a little about the complexities of their races. Quick rundown, what were the issues?
Councilor Lara is facing criminal charges related to this car crash earlier this summer where she hit a woman's home. Her license has been suspended for about a decade. The car was unregistered. Councilor Arroyo is facing a series of scandals from decades-old allegations of sexual assault to being named in a federal ethics probe into former U.S. Attorney Rachel Rollins.
Okay, so now let's talk about who advanced in both of those preliminaries. Let's start with Lara.
So in Lara's election, she lost by double digits to both of her challengers, which I find surprising, frankly. They say I is the most important letter in Massachusetts politics, incumbent. And in both of these races, it was a really strong rebukes to both incumbents. So Lara is not advancing. Instead, Ben Weber, a labor attorney, is advancing. He's kind of pitching himself he had pitched himself to a progressive alternative to Lara, and clearly that resonated.
This is District 6 we're talking
about. In District 6.
Yeah.
And William King is advancing as well.
Okay.
In District 5, Arroyo was not advancing. Again, he lost in double digits to Enrique Pepin, who is the former head of neighborhood services for the city, someone former councilor Tito Jackson knows well, endorsed by Mayor Wu, again, a progressive alternative to Arroyo, and Jose Ruiz, a former Boston police officer who used to be in former Mayor Walsh's police detail and was endorsed by Walsh.
So let's add former Boston City Councilor Tito Jackson to this conversation. Also, chief executive at
Apex Noir. Cannabis.
I was like, Noir Apex, and I knew that was backward.
All that's all good. I won't say the .com part of it at the end.
Yes. I got districts in my head right now, Tito. Welcome to the show. And listen, so Enrique Pepin, we're going to do our disclosures
here. Yes, let's do that. And I have the honor of actually having Enrique as my intern. And then he was so good that he actually moved on to work in my office for 4 years.
Okay.
So all those other people who claimed him after, that was after me.
That was
so
after you.
That's all good.
And yeah. I do also want to note that in a previous segment that we did here on Radio Boston, you had expressed some personal concern and support for Kendra Lara just as a person and as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I do need to be transparent. And in the past, I have endorsed both Kendra as well as Ricardo.
So the reason we wanted to add your voice, and we'll go back and forth with you and WBUR reporter Walter Wuthman here, is there's so much interesting, confusing, wondering about the context here. So what do you make of this, Tito Jackson?
I make of it a couple things. One, local races do not typically get this level of coverage. I wish that I got this level of coverage. Coverage when I was running my mayoral campaign.
Against former Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, yeah.
But when it comes down to it, you don't typically see this level of coverage. Secondly, both of these people have been strong on issues and have advanced important issues throughout. But when it comes down to the actual components of a local election, somebody you're going to see at the Stop and Shop, somebody you're going to see at Star Market, it does matter. These other things that really serve to pivot us from the normal issues of public safety, education, roads, rails, bridges, and all that other stuff into aspects of our lives. And we are public. When you're in those roles, you are in the public sphere, and all of your stuff, and whether you like it or not, is actually sadly fair game in this. And so I think many of those things got put into the mix. And what ends up happening is you see folks who may be fresh alternatives, who have fresh ideas, Not some of the backpacks that were previously there.
So you raise an interesting point on this push me, pull you around issues versus accountability. And while so I'm going to start with some sound that you brought to us here on Radio Boston on Monday after you'd been on the campaign trail with Ricardo Arroyo, and he told you this.
And I think one of the benefits to this kind of campaign is my opponents think that what voters care about the most is what they read in the newspaper. And the more they do that, the less they connect with voters about what actually moves them to vote.
Now that the dust has settled, you actually, the voters seem to have gone in the other direction that Tito Jackson just talked about, and you heard some of that.
Yeah, it seems, you know, these voters did really care what they read in the newspaper and heard on the radio and watched on TV. There was a lot of coverage, and I think that, you know, it was a low turnout primary, but I think the people who came out, not primary, preliminary, the people who came out were high information and highly motivated voters. So they were coming with a lot of this in their mind when they walked into the polling booth. So I was out at a few polling locations yesterday, and this stuff just came up all the time. So I spoke to a voter named Nareda Cruz of Hyde Park. She was supporting Jose Ruiz, and you know, she'd supported Arroyo in the past, but just said it was, you know, the allegations and the scandals and the pileup, it was just too much, and she felt she had to move on. Here's what she said.
I've had enough of what I've seen on TV, on the news, and that enough made me come out here and say, you know what, I think I'm going to choose differently this time around.
So I heard that in Hyde Park. I heard that in Jamaica Plain. You know, people were very engaged and very knowledgeable about these, you know, about these scandals.
And before I go back to Boston City Councilor, former Boston City Councilor Tito Jackson here, Walt Withman, what was the turnout like?
The official results are not in, but it looks like it was a little higher than 2019, which was the last kind of comparable one. It was 11% back then. It was already over 11% by like 6 o'clock last night. So we don't have the final numbers, but it looks higher.
What do you make of that, Tito?
And so these are, and as someone who has been on the other side of this, these are actually pretty good numbers when you're looking at turnout numbers. And understand this is an off year, meaning this is a year when there's not a mayoral election. So these are and by the way, on top of it, you only have a couple of the district council seats. So the Boston City Council is made up of 13 seats. 9 are district council seats, and a preliminary is triggered if there's 2 people or more, right? So you're only looking at 3. And so there's a aspect of this that also happens if you're seeing signs all over the city. And you're driving around. Boston's a pretty small city. That kind of gets people going. You didn't see those signs all over the city, so I would say this was pretty engaged voters, really voicing their opinions. But I would also note these people busted their butts. So this was not something that played out. And I do know, and transparently, as I noted, I supported Enrique Pepin. They knocked on over 10,000 doors in the last couple of days, right? So this is a grassroots campaign because, as I noted in the preliminary, if you are not door knocking and the like, the newspapers and the press piece is not enough to motivate people just to come out for you. So there was a lot that actually happened at a pretty granular level. And I would suspect in particular on the Dorchester side, and we're actually not talking about that one right now, but you know, there's 7 candidates there. So those folks were out kind of ginning up support.
So we can go there for a minute because, and again, we're here with WBUR reporter Walter Withman, with former Boston City Councilor Tito Jackson. We're talking about the surprise. I was surprised. It's the first time in about 40 years, so I think it's fair to call it a surprise that 2 incumbents in the Boston City Council lost in the preliminary election, Kendra Lara and Ricardo Arroyo. There, none of the at-large seats came through in this preliminary. We also had Tanya Fernandez Anderson, an incumbent running in District 7. Frank Baker's District 3 seat was open. So Walt Withman, just quickly take us through what happened there.
It was a really crowded field. Whenever, you know, there's an open seat, you're going to see a lot more interest. It's way easier to run for an open seat than run against an incumbent. as you know, Tito.
It sure is.
John Fitzgerald, a BPDA official, he came out on
Boston,
top.
Planning and Development Authority.
Right, yes. Yeah. With, and again, these are unofficial, but about 43% of the vote in a seven-way field. That's quite strong. He got a lot of endorsements from former Mayor Walsh, from outgoing Councillor Frank Baker. Then in second place, these are unofficial, but it looks like Joel Richards, who's a Boston public school teacher, is going to be the second person on the ballot. And he's much more progressive. He's actually endorsed by the Boston DSA, the Boston Democratic Socialists of America, and a whole bunch of unions, service unions as well. In third place is Ann Walsh, who's an education nonprofit leader and was endorsed by the Boston Globe. And it's just like a handful of votes separating them. But it does seem right now that Joel Richards is going to be moving on.
And then over in District 7, Tanya Fernandez Anderson, the incumbent, did make it from the preliminary into the final.
Very comfortably, yes. And she'll be running against Althea Garrison, which is a name a lot of people know because she runs in many elections. And she actually served on the council when Ayanna Pressley stepped down from the council to go up to Congress.
And served in the State House.
In every election.
Yeah.
She runs in every election.
And served in the State House for a short period of time as well. So, Tito Jackson, I'm going to come back to you for a second, because one of the things that you sort of brought up was the level of press attention and overall attention to a race that, you know, no mayor running, no at-large here in this preliminary election. One of the things that was made a lot of in the last few days was PAC money, super PAC money. For example, New Balance Chairman Jim Davis, known on the national scene for funding, putting a lot of money into Republican races. His Forward Boston PAC backed more conservative challengers. Now, we're on a spectrum here. More conservative challengers to Arroyo and Lara, who pushed back and said, no, thank you, I don't need this money. I'm not sure I want this money. I'm thinking back to a conversation that we had probably more than a year ago now with former Newton Mayor Seti Warren, who lamented the nationalization of local politics and really said this is bad for local politics. Your thoughts, are we seeing that happening here in Boston?
You're seeing a lean from people who have billions to toss their money, funds, and influence around. The question is efficacy, and I think that remains to be seen. But as someone who had a difficult time raising money, I ran a mayoral campaign with $350,000. We got 35% of the vote, not bad. But my opponent spent $5.2 million. And so when it comes down to local elections where $100,000 in a district race is a lot of money. And so if you have $100,000, and most people have name recognition issues generally in the beginning. So even if people are literally just getting your name out, there is a real benefit in a race that, take for instance, seven people in a race to elevate your name and the issues that you have. So this is something that we need to think about. And voters need to be aware of that all of those little things at the bottom of the commercial that you see and that little face that you see, whether or not that is detracting from our democracy, because I would submit and hope that our democracy is simply not just for sale based on how many billions you have. It should be about your ideas. It should be about your work ethic. It should be about your experiences. So we need to stay aware and thoughtful about what's going on and watch where this dark money is coming from.
And Walter Withman, I mentioned that continuum, right? One of the things that watchers looked at in this preliminary was sort of this moderate to progressive continuum among candidates. Did the results suggest anything about where voters are on that continuum in this preliminary?
It's kind of tough to tell. I think that at least in the Kendra Lara and Ricardo Arroyo races, this was like a personal referendum on their on who they are, you know, and what they were accused of. In Lara's district, which is, you know, there's a lot of it in Jamaica Plain. It covers West Roxbury, too, which is a little more conservative. But Ben Weber, who's a self-identified progressive and a labor attorney, he came out with the most votes. So that is an indication that there is an appetite for another progressive. District 5, it's a little more evenly split. But again, Enrique Pepin is another self-identified progressive, and he came out with the most votes. So we could see two progressives replace these outgoing councilors, but there's going to be a lot that happens in the next few couple months.
And last question to you, Tito Jackson. One of the things that reportedly Kendra Lara said in her, you know, sort of after party last night was, quote, "When you fight the system, sometimes the system fights back, and today we lost the battle," end quote. Who or what do you think is the story of that won last night? Was this the voters asserting? Was this systemic forces? Was this progressive versus moderate? What's the story in your mind?
The story is the best candidates who ran the best campaigns, who were able to stick to the issues that moved people and that identified most with the voters won. And so, again, the difficult thing, and you know, you run at the district level, you run at the state level, or you run at the city level. The your stuff, and we all have baggage. Let's keep it 100. And y'all are really good at finding that. your stuff, and kind of getting that and keeping that stuff together is very important, because it allows for you to actually focus on the most important issues. The beginning of the school year, kids aren't getting picked up because 30% of Boston Public Schools students move every single year. So the first 2 weeks, you're taking calls on that. It's going to snow. I hate to say that, but at some point in the near future, it'll be snowing.
Cut it out.
Okay, I'm sorry. people's places are getting plowed. These are like, and mind you, not trying to diss my at-large counselors, because they do the whole city, but when you're a district counselor, it's potholes. It's stop signs. It's zoning. It's these real issues that touch people. And so I think when you look at the people that are – because this is a for somebody and not necessarily against somebody when it comes to it. And good luck to every single person who put their name out there, because until you do it, you don't know what it's about. You don't really understand it. Having your name on the ballot and your ideas on the ballot is a noble thing.
All right, Tito Jackson, former Boston City Councilor, CEO of Apex Noir Cannabis, Walter Wuthman, reporter at WBUR. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.